I was looking at this, and this was like real high. I was like, bring it down to my size. Hallelujah. So this morning, our Sunday school is going to be on turning your cheek. I know it's like, it's just like one after the other, isn't it? Matthew, Andrea, you're the perfect candidate. Matthew 5:39. Yep. And just, so you're going to read 5:39 and just keep your place on 5:38. You know, we're not raised to turn the cheek. How many know that? Our nature does not, it doesn't, I don't know about you, but my daddy told me. He said, son, if anybody does anything to you, you better not let yourself be hit again. The streets, they teach us that only the strongest is going to survive if you're raised in the streets. So when Jesus comes in and he starts talking what many people call nonsense, see, those that don't know about the things of God call this loving your enemies nonsense. Turning the other cheek, nonsense. But here Jesus is trying to teach you and I something, that it's more than what you've been taught all your life. It's how you're going to live if you're going to live for me. Matthew 5:39.
But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone else slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also.
Who wants to be the first? Who wants to be the first? See, this is something that does not fit our natural instinct behavior. Because we want a reaction, or we want to react in retaliation, right? So let me just go ahead and give the rest of the verses out. Go ahead and just stay right there. You're going to get 5:38 when it comes up. Mark, you want to get Exodus 21:24? Thank you for volunteering. Maribel, 1 Peter 2:23. Thank you for volunteering. Amen. Thank you guys for volunteering this morning. Glory to God. I really appreciate that we are able to come in and have this. See, in our lives... So she's going to be first. In our lives, we want to be able to retaliate. You know, I remember my, you know, me and my brothers, we fought all the time. But I remember in my seventh grade year, we were getting ready to go into, and this is long before, this was back when the wheels were still square. I remember going up I was only probably by knee high to the grasshopper, probably about yay high. And some big guy hit me. And he was bigger and taller, and something rose up within me. And I remember that was the very first fight that I actually got with somebody that was not in my family, immediate family. And there was something that just rose up within me, because when this guy came up and pushed me and then hit me, in my mind, it's on. In my mind, there was something that was not going to be, in my mind, he was not going to do it again. I don't care how big, who he was, it was not going to happen to this guy. And how many know that that's what our natural reaction is? We get hit, we want to hit. We get slapped, it's on. See, when we follow Jesus, it is a greater, than the demands of the law of Moses. Matthew 5:38.
You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
So see, the law of Moses said, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. In other words, something had to be retributed, right? Exodus 21:24, Mark.
Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot.
See, the law put a strict law on the vengeance that you were able to take. It was a law of exact retaliation. One eye, no more for an eye. One life, no more than for a life. So in other words, to be able to come, you know, when we were in Kansas City, I remember that there was an article that came up, and this was not too far from where our church was. It was just probably a few miles from the church that there was a man that was walking out of a McDonald's restaurant, and he had a little baby, probably about the age of Amira. And as this article read, it said that it was a gang-related murder. What had happened is that that guy's family had retaliated on an assault that had happened to them. So now it was just going back and forth, folks. People were getting killed left and right. Family members were getting decimated because you got me, I'm going to get you back. And the problem lies is that here it is, a young child, probably no more than 1-2 years old, got caught up. How many know that that child had nothing to do with what had happened? But because, see, that's the law in the street. You get me, I'm going to get you back. See, Jesus comes and he says, as you have heard, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But then Jesus steps up and he takes it one step forward. He says, don't retaliate at all. Say what? If somebody slaps you, turn the cheek. Who's ready to do that this morning? Who's first? Antal said, I'm ready. I'm ready to be the one that slaps. Right? Because you don't want to be on the receiving end. In other words, when he said don't retaliate at all, don't harbor the spirit of resentment. The word resentment is a bitter indignation at being treated unfairly. An example of this is when a soldier or other government officials would require your service to carry a load for them to such a place or distance. You were under compulsion. You were forced to do it. But when you had reached the end of that distance, you were a free person again. Then you can say to him, if you'd like it to carry further, I will gladly carry it for now this has become an initiative. And you can't take it, not by voicing a sense of grievance at having been put to such an inconvenience, but by performing an active act of grace. See, this showing an act of grace is how you and I are supposed to react at being Christ-like. See, the words to turn the other cheek are given by Jesus to his disciples. It is behaving personally. A strike on the right cheek usually meant a backhanded slap. Psh, pah. That's how you were going to get smacked. You want to let Junior or you want to let Big Junior be the slapper? I'll let little Junior slap me. See, this was more of an insult and humiliation than it was an injury. Jesus here comes in and what he is trying to address, because how many know that a lot of these things come when we are insulted, when we are offended. You offended me. You insulted me. You made me feel bad. Can I tell you, Jesus doesn't tell us here that we are now going to be a punching bag for people to do whatever they want with us. How many know that that's not what Jesus was trying to tell us? You're going to be subjected to a further abuse, but it does mean that you are going to refuse to let anger and your pride get the best of you. When you know that hurts. Because when you insult me, you want to get, right? Right? Are we talking to people this morning? Right? You want to automatically, the nails come out. Psh, psh. Right? We are not going to let those things now continue to rule our lives. Anger. Pride. Man's natural instincts, they are to defend. You know, there's a saying that says, don't ever corner a cat onto a wall, because what's the cat going to do? It's going to lunge at you, right? And when it lunges, it's going to be... You must have been talking about ladies that have big nails. Because our instincts, folks, they're always to defend ourselves, to get even. We want to get even, right? To prove, by golly, I'm right, you're wrong, and I'm going to show you that I am right. But can I tell you, when that happens, there's usually never a winner. Because everybody loses. It is said that the greatest battle is not what others do to us, but how you and I respond to what is done. I see that you guys are so excited to just talk this morning. Anybody want to say anything? You guys are so excited. I can just see it in you that you want to talk this morning. Anybody? Somebody? I know we got a lot. I know this has happened. Any personal experiences? Anton? We just need one to break the ice.
I think just sometimes we need to learn how to stay quiet rather than saying the words that whatever we want to feel at that moment. Because, like, even though I'm trying to prove my point, but end of the day, who's going to win the war? No one, you know?
Who wins? And you know what happens when you react? When you react the way you react, because we don't react in the spirit, oh, God, let this be, and the angels speak through you. No, we react in the flesh. And when you react in the flesh, now those words that are spewed out, they're out in the open. And then we come back and we say things like, you know, I really didn't mean what I said. I didn't mean it in that way. Well, can you elaborate on what way you meant it? Right? Because once something is said, it's out. It's out. It's not what others do to you, but how you respond when things are done to you. That is the greatest battle that you are either going to win or you are going to lose. And a lot of the times, there is no winner. It's just losers. Jesus lived. See, Jesus didn't just tell us this is how you have to live. When he was mocked, when the whippings came upon his life, he didn't tell Gabriel, Michael, record that one because I'm going to get him back later. Right? Where did that one come from? Okay, get him back. He was beaten. He was insulted. The Bible says that he didn't retaliate. and we can have the things that we can say, well, Pastor, I'm not Jesus. Right? Pastor, that was Jesus. That's not me. Well, can I tell you something, folks? When we call ourselves Christians, what we are trying to do is be more and more like Christ and less like we are. Anybody have anything to say? Anton? Anton's trying to break the ice, okay?
Well, I have some experience being a Christian. Sometimes we have to be a good example for everyone, because everyone, even though you might think what Maribel kind of told me yesterday, I guess, everyone is watching no matter what. Even though they're not looking at you, they're aware what's going on, you know? That's pretty much.
People are watching you. Mark has something to say. See, I told you, all we need is just one, and then it breaks the ice.
It's kind of funny, because this is what I'm actually going through stuff like this now at my job. Uh-huh. And I'm, you know, just trying to figure out. And the first thing I wanted to do is, like, I wanted to get back. I wanted to do something back to that person.
One person, right?
Yeah, because it's really kind of weird. And so I just said, okay, I'm not perfect at all. I'm just asking God to help me, to give me wisdom, so I don't say the wrong thing when I see the person, you know, finally come here to my job. So it's very interesting. I don't know, and I don't even know what's going on. And I said maybe I should ask, but I'm going to wait until the person is there in front of my face so I can actually have a conversation with them and see what's happening.
Because can I tell you, you never know what people are going through. And they react a certain way. Sometimes, yes, to be ugly, but other times because they are hurting so bad inside that they don't know the escape route. And can I tell you something? You have the escape route inside of you.
As Christians, to be Christ-like is to be led by the Spirit, not by emotion. And a lot of times we're led by emotions because we're confronted by that because God wants us to see and reveal the truth of our true nature that is within us. So he's trying to change that so that we can react with a calm spirit, a quiet spirit, as it says in Peter 3:4, that a meek and quiet spirit is of great value to God. And that's a great price. Like it says, a great price means value. And you can be useful in his sight when you have a reaction to where people can come to you instead of run from you.
You know, I was telling John this morning that I had my first encounter with somebody. You know, I have people yell at me here, street preaching, but I was just driving. You know, if you ever drive behind me, you better just go around me if you're going to be fast, because I'm not going to be driving fast. So here it was, I was on Platt. I had just passed Shelton and coming to the church, and this lady or this car, I didn't know it was a lady until she passed me, but this car was like right on my bumper. I'm talking where, like, if I would have put my brakes, she would have been like right on my seat telling me, hey, what's going on? And she was just, this car was just, it started out over there by Wooten and didn't want to go around me. I don't know for what reason. But car was right there, and right when she finally passed, when the car finally went around on Shelton, she comes and she throws the middle finger like, you know, for a split second, I wanted to chase her. I wanted to chase her. I said, how dare you do that? I didn't even do nothing to you. See, I wanted to get back at her. For that split second, that thought came into my mind, and immediately, listen, I'm telling you, for a split second, I revved up and I said, "Here, I'm gonna chase you, lady, because you ain't gonna do that to me." See, I was offended, I was insulted. You're not gonna do that to me and get away with it. And then, as soon as I revved up the engine, I let go and I said, "What am I doing? I am, listen." I am being baited by the enemy to react in my flesh and not in how I want to be as a Christian, as a man of God. See, the devil is always going to come, and you better get back at her. Don't let yourself be insulted in that, because now everybody is going to do that to you. They're just trying to say hi to me every time. That's it. But see, I revved that up, folks. Listen, I'm telling you, for a split second, and as soon as she heard the whoo, it's not that bad in a Toyota Corolla with a 1.4, right? It probably goes, yeah. But, you know, to me it was like, man, the car did like in the race cars, woof, and I'm getting ready to chase. And then all of a sudden I said, "What am I doing?" I said, "What am I doing?" Can I tell you? What are you doing? Right? 1 Peter 2:23, my love.
Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return? When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judged righteously.
What Jesus is trying to teach you and I is that when you and I are insulted, instead of reacting in retaliation, show restraint. Show restraint. We are to refuse to get involved in gossip. Instead, let's seek a resolution. Quick question. Why is it a bigger struggle to suffer in insults than with personal injury? Go ahead.
Because words have power.
Anybody else or anything else? Anybody want to add to it? You got something? Oh. I was like, I keep seeing you talk, and I'm like, we all want to get involved in your conversation.
I don't know if it isn't the same, like the situation.
Yeah.
Just recently, I had like a lot of anger and towards somebody, and just we had a lot of issues. Well, I had issues with the person because of some things that happened, but I kind of realized that it was affecting me more than anything, and I had like this weight on my shoulders, and I just like felt sick. I felt like a really bad person, and God was really convicting me. And then I reached out to them, and I, you know, told them how I was feeling, and I explained to them like why I was feeling that way, and we were able to like resolve it. But I just like that anger, all of that, just like made me feel like, just it made me feel horrible. It wasn't affecting them, it was affecting me. So yeah, that's
because
it.
The way you were being made to be felt it was killing you. And the other people, it probably wasn't doing nothing to them, right?
Yeah.
They were living their lives like party time, and here it is. You're out there, and the woe is me, and But that was good because the weight, once you, see, you sought a resolve, right? You sought, or you won, or you, a different response. And that actually lifted the weight that you were carrying.
As it says in Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Our lives are primarily spiritual, and the enemy is trying to pull us out of our peace, out of our everything that God has given us. So when somebody comes at you, we got to understand that's there's something spiritual going on there.
Something behind
that to cause turmoil in between you and your friends, your family, your church. It doesn't matter what. He tries to dismantle that from the inside of you.
So have you ever, I close with this question, have you ever been in a situation where, and that was good, so let's get another one, where you took a different reaction than you thought?
So When I was in the world, I kind of have always been the same as far as, like, my personality, but I had really bad character. I was really, like, in-your-face type person, you know? And when I got saved, I realized that God didn't want to change my personality, but he wanted to change my character, you know? And I remember I resented the way that I was. Like, I was like, man, I'm not quiet like those girls. I'm just different, you know? Like, I'm not that, you know? And I remember I would tell God, like, change me and this and that. I want to be quiet. I don't want to talk and, you know, all that stuff. But what God taught me was I was thinking of being meek and being quiet in a whole different sense. It's being humble, right? It's being gentle. And, like, you could still be who you are, but, you know, God wanted to change that in me. And so there is this person that hurt me really bad. And I had fought this person before. I had fought this person. This person jumped me. And I remember when I saw them at 7-Eleven, I was like, oh, it's on site. You know, but God was like,
it's just going to be one on one now.
I said, it's on site. But no, God was like, I want you to witness to her. And mind you, she was in a car full of girls. And I remember I told my sister, I was like, God's telling me to witness to her. And she's like, oh, well, I don't know how this is going to go, you know. And this girl was, she was rough, you know. And so I get off and I told her, I said, you know, God changed my life and I'm not the same person. And I just want to say, I forgive you. And, you know, God has a plan for your life. And we're talking and she's just staring at me. She just had gotten out of prison too. And she's just staring at me. And she's like, she gave me a hug. And she ended up coming to church and she was coming to church and God was moving in her life. And I remember, like, she would tell me, like, Valerie, this is awkward. And I'm like, it's under the blood. Like, don't worry about it, you know. But I remember that taught me so much. Like, it taught me to humble myself. You know, because this person, she jumped me, you know. And I wanted to, you know, do all these crazy things. But I was saved now. And God was, like, sanctifying me and stuff. And now I see it so different. I don't think like that no more, obviously. But I remember, like, in that time, like there is things that want to resurrect in me and stuff like that, but that taught me such a valuable lesson of, like, how when you love someone, when they've hurt you, like, man, you get such a it's like putting heaping coals on their head, and that's what I saw. I saw on her when I witnessed to her, and, man, like, you, when you see someone's life change, like, there's just no price on it, and so.
Anton?
Can I add on what Valerie was saying, kind of similar in my story, where, like, the way how I grew up is just a bunch of negative things. I used to feed these things in my mind to tell people. I was very bold. I'll be on your face too, you know, like, tell them, hopefully you gain 5 pounds today, get paper cut, or whatever it is, negative things that hopefully you hit your pinky toes, whatever it is, you know. But I got, God just basically kind of spoke to me, you know, if you're going to change the way how you are, but still be who you are, but like speak about them, about Christ, you know, Jesus Christ, what changed who you are now, back then and now, you know.
That changes everything, doesn't it? ¿No han tenido una experiencia de cómo reaccionaron, cambió la situación? So habla poquito y luego déjame.
Sí, bueno, antes yo era como de irme también a golpes, reaccionar diferente.
So I used to be where I used to react a lot of, in a different manner.
Me han pasado cosas donde como que a veces Dios nos pone como a prueba a ver cómo reaccionamos.
Because God puts us in a place to see how you and I are going to react.
Y no nomás él, también la gente está viendo cómo reaccionas.
But not only does God see it, but the people are seeing how you react.
Hace poco me robaron una herramienta y...
And some time ago, recently, there was a coworker that stole some tools from me.
Sentí muchas emociones hacia la persona.
And I had a lot of emotions towards the person.
Y yo mismo me pregunté qué haya sido si mi forma de sentir o de reaccionar fuera como antes.
And I even asked myself, how would the situation have been different if I would have reacted the way I used to be?
Y sentí que Dios me ayudó en eso porque reaccioné de una buena manera.
And I feel that God helped me because the way that I reacted was differently.
Perdoné a la persona y la satisfacción que a mí me generó eso fue mayor que haberlo golpeado o algo.
And I forgave the person, and the satisfaction was greater in me because I was able to react differently and forgive him. Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God. Turn the other cheek. Somebody slaps you. Turn the other cheek, right? He says, I'm always that person because people are always hitting me. But God is trying to see that we are different. And you know, in all that, God is trying to refine you and I and make us more. And more. And how many know that sometimes the fire really has to be put, because sometimes we don't want to. We want to react the way we want to react. We don't want to react the way we should react in Christ. But when we react in the flesh, then we don't show nothing of a Christ-like person. Service at 11.